1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I'm going to use that verse in a minute, but remember that. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's God's will that we give thanks in everything. You know, I got another verse I'm going to use in a minute. I'll probably forget what I want to say, so I'll say it now. But, you know, it talks about every good thing comes from above. But, you know, but everything is that happens, God either allows it or causes it, you know. And so what, in that verse, what defines a good thing? Well, we may define as good, or some things that we might say, well, it's not good, it may be good in a long run type of thing. You know, sometimes we have to go through trials. We have to go through circumstances in life that actually betters us. It makes us stronger, or, you know, maybe more humble, maybe more able to weather another storm in life, that kind of thing, you know. So sometimes what we think maybe is not good is actually good. It's a good thing. So every good thing, in everything, the will of God concerning us. How many of you remember, I think it was last year we did where we were going to memorize the 100th Psalm. Y'all remember that, especially Wednesday night people? How many of you remember it? How many of you remember the whole 100th Psalm? Huh? Yeah. Well, you know what? I forgot about it last year on my hunting trip. That's what I did. I sat around, I'd get the first verse and I'd say it over and over again, and I'd be walking out of the woods, walking down the trail, and I'd get a little cadence in my mind and I'd be saying that one verse over and over. Of course, memory, I'm going to play the age card. Memory being what it is now, you know, I couldn't remember the first line, but I looked at it this morning. And I'll tell you, it's a good psalm to memorize, especially about Thanksgiving. But in verse 4 of Psalm 100, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his presence, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Man, that's how we're to come into the presence of God. When we come, I mean, and I think, you know, technically we're always in the presence of God in that sense. But when we have a set time, a set place that we're going to come and we're going to, like church, we're going to worship, you know, we ought to come with thanksgiving into the presence of God with thanksgiving. There's always something to be thankful about. It doesn't matter how bad things are. There can be bad things, but hey, we're breathing, right? And so there's something to be thankful for. And you know, enter into his courts with praise. So there's two things right there. And I don't know that you can have praise without thanksgiving. I think they got to go hand in hand. You've got to praise God. You've got to thank God hand in hand. And so come into his presence of God with thanksgiving and come before him with praise. That's what we should be doing. One of the little kids back there in the back had it right, hollered out, you know, there at the end of the song. Amen, man. That's what it's all about. Maybe we learn something. We can learn something from the kids, right? Because they don't have any hindrances or no, Yeah, well, yeah, I'm trying to think of another word. I can't think of it. I'll think of it tonight at like 2 in the morning, but I'll send a text out. No inhibitions. They don't have any inhibitions about stuff like that. Somebody says, well, you might be out there and think, well, boy, I want to praise God and shout. Well, go ahead. You know, I mean, don't say, well, I don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Just worry about what God thinks, right? There's nothing wrong with that. So we learn from the kids in doing that. But, you know, and we don't always thank God in everything. We don't. We don't always do that. We don't always thank God in the good things. Sometimes we just get too preoccupied. We don't praise him in everything that we go, you know, go through in life, even the things that we could and should do that. Well, let me read this text to you. It's a familiar one probably for all of us. It is for me, as I've read the Bible through and preached out of a lot of this stuff. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "It came to pass as he," speaking about Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back," and look here, "and with a loud voice glorified God. I didn't really pay attention to the loud voice part of this thing, and I've read it over and over again until today, or well, the other day when I was getting my outline together. I said, he didn't come in and say, hey, thanks a lot. It said with a loud voice that he glorified God. What's our sole purpose on earth?
Glorify
God, right? That's our purpose. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So he wasn't. He was a half Jew and half Gentile. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Now, I'm not preaching on this today, but I want you to notice something here. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus ran all over the place looking for the 9. Right? He didn't run all over looking for him, say, hey, get back here and give me. He didn't do that. And he ain't gonna do that for us either in that sense, huh? But he did take note that 9 of them didn't give him praise. He didn't go looking for them. And he said, arise. He spoke unto this one. He said, arise, said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Man, there's a lot to learn in that verse right there. So here we are. Jesus, the background is he's at the border of Samaria and Judea. He's on the border. 10 lepers. Leprosy, man, leprosy was a problem then. I don't think it's not a curable disease. And back then, probably none of it was. It was only by God. I mean, there was nothing you could do about it. And so it's desperate. And they heard Jesus was there, and they came to Jesus, which is a certain amount of faith that they had, that they believed Jesus could do something about it. And they cried out. And, you know, leprosy was a living death. I mean, it was a living death. It's a great picture of sin in the Bible because apart from Christ, see, we are really it's a living death. We don't have life. We don't have spiritual life, and we don't have eternal life without Christ. So if you're living without Jesus, see, you're experiencing a living death. And it's a picture of sin because it's one of those things that gets all through your system. It's the other picture in the Bible is leaven. You can't put just a little leaven in one little area of the dough, and it's only going to affect that. It affects the whole thing. So sin does the same thing. So it's a great picture of that. And here they were. So they were in a helpless, hopeless case, and every sinner on earth is, apart from Jesus Christ. And that's the salvation part of that. But here they called out Jesus. They used the word for master that means chief commander. Chief commander. That means they understood or they believed that he had command over everything, even disease, even death. They believed that. That's why they called him that. And Jesus tells them, he said, okay, this is what you do. And this was under the law. This is what the law said for a Jew in that day. He says, go show yourself to the priest. Well, what happened is you had to wait a certain amount of days. And when you looked and there wasn't any sign of leprosy, or say you had a spot on you and it could be leprosy, you look at that and they would look at it for a certain amount of days. They'd observe it, maybe 7 days, maybe 14. I didn't look it up, but I have in the past, but it was a certain amount of days. And after, if it was okay looking, you go show it to the priest and they would say, okay, you're clean. Everything's okay. You don't have to isolate any longer. You don't have to cover your upper lip and holler out unclean everywhere you go. Everything was good to go. So this was required by the law. It was an act of faith, though. When Jesus said, listen, here they are, they're lepers. All right, go show yourself to the priest. Well, as far as they knew, the only thing, they were lepers. I mean, they already knew that. They probably already had seen the priest. But an act of faith was, okay, I'm going to the priest. They left Jesus, they were lepers. But it says as they went that they were cleansed. Man, just think. I'm just using my imagination. I can't prove this worth a hoot. But I think as soon as they started going to the priest in about 2-3 steps, they was healed. They started heading that way. I mean, because the other one, he didn't get very far away because as soon as he saw he was healed, he turned around and he went right to Jesus and thanked him. So he didn't get far away. Jesus hadn't wandered off where he couldn't find him. So I don't think they went very far at all. That's just the way I think. I believe that would be right. But here it was. One guy, he ran back. He said he thanked Jesus. He thanked him with a loud voice. And it said he wasn't a Jew. It pointed out he wasn't full-blooded Jew. He was a Samaritan. And, you know, when you think about this, boy, the providence of God bringing Jesus to that area when those guys were there at that time. There's the providence of God. May we all in our life can look And I think when I got saved, I know that was the providence of God. It was the time that that God was dealing with me. I mean, I was 31, 32 years old. And God, he got God, a pastor and some people started coming to visit me and tell me about Jesus. And that was the time in my life that God was dealing with me right then. Well, what if he hadn't got saved then? I might not have never got saved. Maybe later, maybe he would have come again, but there's no guarantee, right? That Samaritan woman that Jesus went to see, it said he must needs go through Samaria, and he went there and saw that woman at the well. He was on the way to the cross. He wasn't coming back. Well, she might have got saved this year. She might have, but I tell you what, that was her day. I think in my time when I got saved, that was my time to get saved right there. I've often thought about that. Man, if you hadn't got saved then, what would it be? I might not even be alive today. I mean, my lifestyle, I might not be alive today. But you know what? That was the time. And here these lepers were. Jesus was there right then, the providence of God. And they cried out to God. And I guess the message for us is this. Jesus is dealing with your heart today, get saved today. Amen. Because we don't know when, you don't know that Jesus is, or the Holy Spirit is going to convict you that you're not saved another time. Like old Harry Kidd, y'all know that story. So the providence of God brought Jesus to the area. His love and grace, by his love and grace, he paid attention to the need of those guys. Now think, there was hundreds of, probably thousands of people in that area at that time. But they came up and they cried out to Jesus. Man, they went to him. Not everybody. I'm sure there was other sick people. I'm sure there were other people. There was probably more lepers than that. Maybe, I don't know. But I mean, I'm sure there was people that had other problems that didn't go to Jesus. And guess what? I don't know that they didn't get healed, as far as we know. It's not in the Bible. It doesn't say that they got healed either. But he paid attention to their need as they cried out to him, and he healed them. But this only one guy, he returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God and fell down at the feet of Jesus, which is an act of worship, an act of reverence to Jesus. And he gave him thanks. Man, now Jesus took note of that too. Right? He took note. The other men went to the temple. This is required by the Jewish law. And this man here was probably, he was going to have to go to the temple too. But by law, they went to the temple, act of faith. They showed the priest. So see, it was an act of faith. And they would have, when they got there, they would have had to offer a sacrifice too. They would have had to done that. That was under the law. They were obedient to the law. But Jesus was more pleased by this one Samaritan that returned and gave him thanks than he was for the other nine that obeyed the law down to the T as far as doing the same. See, so like we can dot all the T's and cross all the I's. Dot all the I's and cross all the T's. Spelling wasn't one of my highlights. Get my punctuation right. Yeah, I knew something wasn't right about that. Cross the T's and dot. We can do all that. We can do that, but you know, not be thankful people. I don't think God's pleased with, according to this, he wouldn't be pleased with that. Huh? We're just going through the ritual. We're going through the motion. Man, I mean, we can try to obey. We can try to fall under the law even today in the New Testament time and still not have a relationship with Christ. You get me? Still not have a relationship, a personal relationship with him. But because he did that, he received something far greater than physical healing. The Bible says he was made whole. And that's talking about a spiritual healing. That was salvation right there. Because he came back and he gave the Lord, he put his faith. His faith was in him and not in the priest, even though he was probably going to have to do that under law. Well, maybe not. Because he was a Samaritan. He probably wouldn't, now that I think about it, and I didn't think about it before. He probably didn't have to go to the priest, but them other guys did. But the literal translation is, your faith hath saved you. That's what that literally says. Your faith hath saved you. Faith in Jesus Christ. But you think about this, and this is where I was trying to get. This is really just the introduction. And the message isn't real long, but thank the Lord for that, right? Why didn't the other ones give? Why didn't they come back and give the Lord thanks? I'm sure they were happy that they were cleansed of leprosy, and maybe they had thankfulness in their heart. Maybe they were grateful in their heart, but they didn't come back and show gratefulness. They didn't come back and thank him. And that's what I want to talk about. I think that Thanksgiving in the Bible is a deeper, it's deeper than just a single day thanks, like Thanksgiving, or really it's deeper than thanking the Lord for material possessions. It's deeper than just thanking Him when we get over the hiccups or whatever we got that we thank. You know, it's deeper than that. It's really, it's a lifestyle of Thanksgiving. That's what the Bible teaches. It's a lifestyle of Thanksgiving. It's part of life. A consistent lifestyle of Thanksgiving. And the other nine lepers, they didn't have that. And I think that was the difference for the first guy. He had a consistent, this was a habit. He was a thankful person. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Number one thing is the why of Thanksgiving. The why of Thanksgiving. Now, I read 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's the will of God. So we understand thanksgiving. It's really, if it's God's will, that's really a command. We're commanded to give thanks. Now, you know, we can do it like this. Like, all right, Johnny, you go over there and thank them people. Because, you know, they maybe gave you a birthday present. All right. Thanks. All right. We do that with God, right? Huh? It's like, you know, the I'm sorry. You know, when you was a little kid, go over and tell that boy, you know, you punched him in the head. Your mom and dad caught you. Go over and tell him you're sorry. I'm sorry. Well, you did it. Huh? You said it, right? We can say, well, all right, thanks. Thank you. Huh? That's it, right? It's not... We can do the command, but since it's a command, get this right now, this is Bible, it makes it an act of obedience, which is also, obedience is an act of worship. See, you can't worship God and be disobedient. You can't be disobedient all week and then come and say worship God. Worship is an act of obedience. It just is. It's got to go hand in hand. And so Thanksgiving. We can't worship God without Thanksgiving. We can't praise God without Thanksgiving. You can't do it. Listen, Thanksgiving, thanking God produces some things in our life. Thanksgiving produces joy in us, right? It produces peace in the heart for those who give thanks. It always does. Thanksgiving relieves anxiety. It takes worry away. Why is that? Why does giving thanks to God take anxiety away from me? Because it shifts the focus off of you and onto God. What's our biggest problem in life? Self. Our self is the biggest problem. And self-centeredness. Selfishness. Huh? So that is our problem. We're so consumed with ourself. And somebody that doesn't want to thank somebody else has got a self-centered, selfish problem. That's why they won't do it. And so what happens when we give thanks, it automatically takes the focus off of our own self. It takes the focus off of our problems and say, hey, we can give God the glory no matter what. Huh? We can give God the praise. It causes us to reflect on what God has already done in our life. God doesn't have to do anything else in my life, and I'm blessed, man. I mean, I'm saved. I've got it. I'm saved, and He doesn't need to do another thing. I don't think for any of us, unless you're not saved. Amen. And then we have a plenty to be thankful for, right? We have plenty to be thankful for. Man, I was sitting up there in the woods the other day. We were down in Grayson County. The three highest mountains in the state, I could see all three of them. The farthest one's White Top. The next one's Mount Rogers, highest mountain in the state. Next one's Pine Mountain, which we usually hunt on that, but not in 30-mile-an-hour wind. We're not going up there. So we didn't do it. Here it is, the three biggest mountains. I said, I looked at that, and my dad was raised down there in Troutdale where we stay. So I was taken down there as a baby. I don't remember that, but I do remember being 4 years old down there and started hunting down there and spent my summers down there. And I went hunting when I was 11 and started going hunting regularly. And I was sitting up there on that ridge looking at the mountains. I said, man, I've been looking at them all my life. I said, I remember I was a kid, man, I'm 70 years old. So I'm 70 years old sitting up here looking at those mountains. And I said, how in the world did I get here? That's pretty much what I thought. But you know what? I said, you know what? I got a blessed life, man. I look back. I said, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I was so thankful to be there. I was thankful to be up there, still up there. I hunted on that mountain with my dad. When I got up there, I said, man, I can't believe Dad climbed all the way up here back then. But he did. It's not real long, but it makes up for it in steep. But I said, you know, remember being up there with my dad, walking right along them same spots. And I said, man, I got so much to be thankful for. Shift the focus off of yourself onto God, onto what God has done. It shifts our focus to God's greatness, to God's sovereignty in things. I don't think anything happens by accident. I just don't. It shifts our focus to grace, His grace, the grace of God, man, that He saved us, even looking at what we were when we got saved and even dealing with us now sometimes. And it shifts our focus to the character of God, what kind of a God He is. So we have the why of thanksgiving, why we should thank God. The second thing is we have the practice of thanksgiving. And James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So what happens when we give thanks to God? We are acknowledging the source of our thanksgiving. We're acknowledging that. And that does a couple things for us. One thing, it corrects our ego. It corrects ego. It corrects pride. It takes pride away when we give Him thanks and realize everything. You know, you say, well, you know what, man? People say, well, I work real hard and I got everything. Yeah, but you know what? God gave you the breath to work. God gave you the strength to work. God gave you the inclination to work. You know, God allowed us to do all those things. You know, I was the chaplain for years at the Bryan Center before COVID came. Everybody in the Bryan Center is on a vent. Got a breathing thing in their throat. Most of them don't come out of there. Sometimes some of them get well and come out, but 90% of them die there. You know, it's a hard ministry, very hard ministry. And I'd go in there and you'd see people your own age or younger that are on a vent bed, and man, I mean, just, and you think, by the grace of God, you know, that could have been us. And man, we prayed for those people. So when you see that, you know, you start realizing how much grace God has, and there's always something to be thankful for. I thank God for my health every day. I do. I'm pretty healthy. Got all a few little other things here and going south, and you know, cataract here and there. Got to get that fixed. And as far as I know, I don't have anything major, but you know, I don't know. Who knows? But thank God for my health, you know, the health that I have every day. We should. I think when we thank God, we need to be specific. Harold Vaughn always says, generalities in prayer is unbelief in disguise. You know, generalities in prayer is unbelief in disguise. That means that, you know, we could just say, well, God, thank you for everything. No. You know, God, save all the lost. God wants us to be specific. Get down. Count your blessings. We got a song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Not a bad idea. Especially now or every day, but we're thinking about Thanksgiving's coming up. Start thinking about, maybe make a list. I got that at the end I'm going to give you homework, but make a list of the things to be thankful for. And boy, you know what? You just maybe start writing it down and you'll probably get where you're not thinking, and then leave it open there and just cruise around that day, do whatever, and go, oh yeah, here's something else. And we can start writing down. I'll tell you what, it's unbelievable what that do for you right there. Good idea before, maybe on Thanksgiving Day. Everybody do a list, and when y'all sit down for Thanksgiving dinner, wherever it is, say, hey, here's some of the things I'm thankful for on my list. You might not get to eat. Everybody be talking, right? The third thing is gratitude and from gratitude to generosity. From gratitude to generosity. When we develop a lifestyle of Thanksgiving, things go from obligation to overflow. See, that's back to the point of saying, well, you know what, I'm going to give thanks because I'm supposed to give thanks. To where when you just can't help it, it's flowing out of your life. Thanksgiving is flowing out of your life. That's biblical Thanksgiving, by the way. That's what God's trying to get us to. He doesn't want us to do it and say, well, I'm going to go give thanks because the Bible says I have to and it says I should and it's a command of God. I'm going to go thank somebody. No, we thank somebody because it's flowing out of our heart. We can't help it. And I'm going to tell you what, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, if you've got the Holy Spirit of God, you will be thankful. Huh? It will overflow out to other people. And so from obligation to overflow, gratitude also inspires generosity. The thankful heart is naturally a giving heart. It's amazing how all this ties together. The thankful heart is a giving heart. A thankful heart is a serving heart. It's serving heart in the church, and it's a serving heart in the community that we live in, around the community. A thankful life is also a powerful witness. You know, we think about the world today is full of complainers. It is. It's full of grumblers. Don't get caught up in that. I've worked at jobs. I've shared this with you before. I'm just, you know, I'm okay. Everything's all right. I mean, every place you go, listen, whatever job you have, there's things you wish were different. You know, you think this one could be better than this and that. But so, you know, generally speaking, we were happy at our job. And then somebody comes in one day, man, the boss is, next thing you know, you're riled up, man. Your blood pressure done soared up, man. You're more aggravated than they are. And you were fine and dandy till somebody came in complaining and grumbling, right? You ever had that happen? Go ahead and say yeah. Huh? How many of you was the grumbler and complainer and got somebody else ticked off? Everybody go ahead and bob your head up and down on that right there, right? Huh? Everybody got riled up. When you left home, you were fine, right? The world is full of grumblers and complainers. It's just unthankfulness abound. But and the Bible tells us, I put a little mark. 2 Timothy 3:1, this is what it says, 1-5. It's talking about in the last days, which Lord knows we're living in the last days right now. If you don't know, if you don't believe it, listen to what it says. In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. There it is, selfishness. So what, if they're lovers of their own self, are they thankful? No. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, got that underlined, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Get away from them. Huh? There it is. That's the world we live in. So if that's the world, generally speaking, that we live in, men are, notice people, lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, unthankful, and you're a thankful person, man, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb, right? If you're thankful in this world that we live in, people's going to say, man, something different about that person. What is it, Jesus? You know, that's what the difference is, man. I mean, you know, it just turns us to be thankful. A thankful person will stand out in the crowd in the world that we live in today. It's a testimony to God, a testimony of God. Of God himself dwelling in our hearts. And see, we've been given the greatest gift of all. I said this a few weeks ago. Some people looked at me kind of mean, but that's all right. Our greatest gift is not our spouse, and it's not our children. The greatest gift we ever got was Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the greatest gift that God ever gave us. Them other ones may be right up there after that, but boy, if it wasn't for Christ, I mean, what God has given us, Jesus Christ, and salvation, man, salvation, eternal life, because that gift not only is something you receive and you can have, but then your spouse and then your children, they get eternal life. Without Christ, they wouldn't have that. They wouldn't be able to have that. And so, man, he's the greatest gift that was ever given. The greatest gift that we have to be thankful for is Jesus Christ. And we think about that. How can we not always be thankful? How can we not always be thankful? So I'm going to give you a challenge. I said I had a little homework for you on this message. Last year, Tori, you wasn't here last year, but I had everybody, we memorized the 100th Psalm, the whole thing. It's not very long. The 100th Psalm. It's a great Thanksgiving verse. It's great about Thanksgiving. I read the verse 4 a while ago, but get back, do it again. Take the 100th Psalm, especially, and that's going to be a good one for Thanksgiving Day. That'd be a good thing to read. But last year, I went all during my hunting season. I memorized the whole thing. But I'm just play the age card. And I forgot a lot of it. So, but I'm going to go back and I said, wow, man, I remember doing that. And then also start a gratitude journal. Like I was saying about, write it down. Just start right now. We got, I don't know how many days, what do we got, a couple weeks till Thanksgiving? 2 weeks? Something like that. Start writing down things to be thankful for. You're going to, you know, you'll start right away. You'll get the big ones and then you'll start running out. And then just leave the book open and then as things come back to your mind, start writing in there, writing in there, writing in there. Things to get, you might as well go ahead and get a real thick notebook. And write down the things you have to be thankful for. And I'll give you this little thing and I'll be done. There's a song. Some of you might know the song. I wasn't familiar with the song. Now Thank We All Our God. There's a song titled that. Now Thank We All Our God. It was written by a guy named Martin Rinkert in 1636 during the 30 Years' War. He was a pastor during that time. He was a pastor during the darkest days of that time. And it said during those times, those darkest days, he conducted as many as 40 funerals a day. 40 funerals a day, including the funeral for his own wife. But in spite of that, there was a war, there was a plague, and all the death and the sorrows that were around him and the sorrows that were within him, he was able to give thanks to God with a grateful heart, and he wrote that song, Now Thank We All Our God. Now that's a heart that overflowed with thankfulness in spite of the circumstances. That's what God wants us to be thankful, but not out of obligation. Just out of the overflow of a grateful heart. Amen? Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much. There's so many things to thank you for. But we thank you for salvation. We thank you for life. Lord, we thank you for all of us being put together here, family of people, Lord. Things don't happen by accident there. We've crossed our paths for a reason. And we just look at that. Help us not to take each other for granted. Lord, help us to love each other more, love you more. And I pray you love people through us. I prayed it today, Lord, if there's somebody here not sure about their salvation, that certainly they would get saved today. And boy, what a thing to be thankful for there. And then for all the rest of us, Lord, just help us to, as we pray here in a minute, just to give you thanks and praise for all you do and all you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Would be hymn number 308, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender.